Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, trusted for remodeling projects big and small. Ideas at callmosby.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Last week, Illinois joined more than a dozen U.S. states that have announced moves toward issuing their own vaccine guidelines or begun endorsing vaccine recommendations that differ from those of the Federal Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Peter Hancock is a reporter with the Capital News Illinois. He joins us now to discuss Governor J.B. Pritzker's recent executive order regarding vaccines and what it means for health providers and Illinois residents. Peter, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Peter, what does the order Pritzker issued earlier this month call for?
There are a number of things in the order, but primarily it directs the Illinois Department of Public Health to issue what are called some standing orders that will authorize healthcare providers, including pharmacists, to give vaccines as determined appropriate by the Illinois Department of Public Health, which is to say that IDPH, in concert with other state agencies, will have recommendations for who should get the vaccines, when they should get them, at what ages, and all those other kinds of protocols that go with it. Obviously, this is out of some concern that there has been a lot of turmoil at the Department of Health and Human Services and the Food and Drug Administration under the leadership of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. So Governor Pritzker is just saying, you know, that this is designed to ensure that Illinois residents will have uninterrupted access to all the vaccines.
And which vaccines are we talking about, Peter?
These are a lot of the standard vaccines, the seasonal flu, obviously the COVID-19 seasonal updates, as well as children's vaccines, the MMR shots or measles, mumps, and rubella, other kinds of just standard vaccines that we otherwise need to attend school or to do all kinds of other things, or to just take care of ourselves, you know, during seasonal respiratory illness epidemics or, you know, rises in cases.
Mm-hmm. Now, you did speak to what has motivated Governor Pritzker to issue this executive order, but there are also things that are just pertinent to leadership and some of the changes at the CDC as well, aren't there?
There have been, you know, RFK Jr. Recently fired or summarily dismissed the head of the CDC. There's also an advisory panel that made recommendations about vaccines, a 17-member panel, I believe, that was just replaced in its entirety. And so there is concern in Illinois and elsewhere about what kind of advice is coming out of CDC, and certainly concern, confusion within the medical community about, you know, who should be getting vaccines, who should be recommended, as well as whether or not insurance is going to cover them, you know, with changing recommendations from the federal health agency. So that was another part of Governor Pritzker's order, was to make sure that state-regulated insurance plans, which are basically the smaller, small group employer-based plans, will continue to cover these ordinary vaccines that were already being covered anyway.
Mm-hmm. Now, Illinois is not alone in taking action like this. How many other states, Peter, have decided to go sort of in this direction of issuing their own guidelines, and have their rationale mirrored those of Illinois?
Well, there have been several states, and it's a changing number all the time. I believe it started in the West Coast. There was like a West Coast Health Alliance made up of California, Oregon, and Washington. Since then, Hawaii has joined. I believe Arizona and New Mexico have also, if they're not part of that collaborative, then they're doing much the same thing about having their own health departments, state health officials issue their own. Some other states, there's, I think, also an East Coast alliance of New England states and Mid-Atlantic states. So, it's been the concern has been pretty widespread. And if it's not having their own state health departments issue the recommendations, then they're going with some other alternative authority, like maybe the World Health Organization or some other international health organization. Just out of concern that they believe that maybe, that the Food and Drug Administration or, whatever federal health agency in the United States is not issuing advice, objective advice based on scientific standards.
Peter, are there any noteworthy differences among these states in terms of how far those alternative vaccination recommendations go?
There's probably some variation. I couldn't really speak to the specifics. I haven't done a deep dive into each state's policies. But I think overall the general motivation and the goals are the same, are to make sure that people continue to have uninterrupted access, and especially no cost access to the people who need it most, children in schools, low income adults, people like that, that they need to have continual access to it, regardless of changing federal standards, which could easily, change back after the next presidential election. They just want to make sure that, regardless of the politics in Washington, at any given time, they want to make sure that their residents continue to have uninterrupted access to proven safe and effective vaccines.
Returning to Illinois, to whom would the Illinois Department of Public Health's guidelines apply, Peter?
Well, these apply, they're not mandates. They're just issuing, their own guidelines, and also taking steps to make sure that the vaccine supplies are still available and that insurance is still covering it. But basically, you're talking about any sort of healthcare provider who works in either a clinical setting or a pharmacy that would normally give out vaccines. They're saying, these are the standards that the state of Illinois goes with. And so if you follow these standards, you're covered, and insurance policies, and of course the state Medicaid plan, and state employee health care plan, we'll go
Sure,
ahead
go
and cover
ahead.
it.
What
No,
has
that's okay.
been your sense of the response to Pritzker's order since it was issued on September 12th?
Well, I mean, that's kind of hard to judge. I don't think there has been a whole lot, just possibly because there has been so much other stuff in the news that people have had to worry about, that this one didn't necessarily generate a whole lot of attention. I think you will see a lot more interest in it in the coming weeks and months because, we're moving into cold and flu season, and this is the time when people generally, like me, I generally get a flu shot and a COVID shot at the same time, in different arms. So, you're kind of sore for a few days after that. But this is the time of year when people are thinking about it, and kids are going back to school. And so, it's very timely in that respect. And I think you'll see probably more interest in it as we go along. On the other hand, maybe there, you know, nobody will notice as long as people go about their normal routines. If they get their shots at the same time this year, they got it last year, and there were no additional difficulties, then maybe nobody will notice.
Mm-hmm. And as we close, Peter, last Thursday, a CDC advisory panel voted to change a recommendation on the combined measles, mumps, rubella, varicella, or MMRV vaccine. And then on Friday, it voted in favor of people making individual informed decisions about COVID vaccination. Now, this is not final. The acting CDC director must review and approve that before it becomes official guidance. I mean, to what extent would such changes, should they go through, affect, you know, what Governor Pritzker has called for? Would it change anything for Illinois?
Well, I think that's the intent of the executive order, is that nothing will really change as far as what individuals, you and I, would see on the ground. He wants things to keep going. But there is a lot of concern about these new guidelines. For the COVID vaccine in particular, I believe one of the concerns was whether or not it would be covered and available to anybody. It used to be over the age of 6 months and under the age of 64, regardless of whether you had any underlying risk factors. I think there was talk at the CDC at the federal level, and it's hard to tell where they finally landed about whether or not people aged 6 months to 64 would still be able to get the vaccine, even if they have no underlying health conditions, like asthma or diabetes or something that would put them at risk of complications. So that's kind of been the concern about what the changing standards are at the federal level. And so I think what you're seeing in Illinois and other states is just an effort to make sure that people, if they want the vaccine, they can continue to get it and they don't have to jump through a lot of hoops or get a prescription from their doctor or fill out a bunch of paperwork to justify getting the shot. You just get the shot.
Peter Hancock is a reporter at the nonprofit Capital News Illinois. Peter, thank you so much for joining us today, and stay healthy.
Okay, you too. Thank you for having me.
This episode was produced by Elaine Cha.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Doerr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.